We've been going through the life of Moses, and so we will continue on with that today. Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. It says, "The tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So when they saw the lands of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks and herds," and I want us to stop right here, because I think sometimes we read the Bible and we can miss details like this. It may seem like not something significant, but I believe we should put ourselves in the situations of people in the Bible, because I don't believe the Bible's a history book. I believe it's the Word of God that can change us. So I want you to understand in this moment, right, they've come out of slavery in Egypt. They've been working toward the promised land that God has given them. They've had to fight battles to get here. They've seen God split the Red Sea. They've seen God provide manna from heaven. They've been through a lot at this point. And whether it was through winning the battles and conquering lands or just the blessing of God, it now says that they've got a vast number of livestock. And I know we're in North Georgia, if you're here in the building, or maybe you're watching online, and we still have some people who have livestock, but that's not everybody today, okay? You may not have large herds of cattle and things and sheep. But I want to ask, maybe you're here today, do you have a house? Maybe do you have a car? Maybe you have a couple cars? Maybe you go on nice vacations? Maybe some of the worldly things have started to grow in your life. And one of the temptations, whether spiritually or in the physical, is once God starts to move spiritually in our life and we start to get enough, we're tempted to be comfortable. Maybe you start to get enough in life physically and you start to get comfortable. And that's what's happened to these tribes as they go, "I've got a lot of livestock and the lands I'm looking around at look suitable for what I have." What's the one problem though is God has called them out of Egypt to the promised land. They're not there yet. They're not there yet, but now they're starting to be tempted to settle for less. Look at what happens in verse 4. They said, "The Lord has conquered the whole area for the community of Israel, and it's ideally suited for all of our livestock. If we found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us land across the Jordan River." The Jordan River was this physical boundary line. When they knew they crossed into the Jordan, over the Jordan River, they were going to be in the promised land. It was the land God had called them to. They were going to have to fight for it to possess it. So what's happened is these two tribes look around and they go, "You know what, we've been through some battles, we've been through some things, we've got a lot of livestock, and livestock, this land looks good. What if we just approach Moses and say, 'God, you know, Moses, will you just let us have what we can see right now? Because this is far enough.'" You want to know one of the phrases that will start to kill you spiritually? It's this phrase that's going through their mind right now. This is good enough. See, it's not good enough if it's not what God's called you to. It may be what the enemy tries to tell you in your mind. This is good enough. If you look around, is this not comfortable enough? Look what God's kind of done in your life already. This is far enough. This is good enough. You can settle and be comfortable here is what he's trying to tell the tribes. The reason we go through all of this is some of the same temptations that the tribes of Israel are facing in this moment is the same temptations the enemy's going to use in your life. I think the enemy's far more predictable than we'd like to give him credit for. He's tempting them, going, "Hey, God may have promised you a land over there, but does this not look good enough? Does this not look like something you could settle with? Is this not something you're willing to accept? This is easy enough to stay here." Easy enough is not going to help you grow spiritually. But they are tempted to settle for less than what God has called them to because what they see looks comfortable, it looks nice. Look at verse 6, because Moses, he's not having any of this. Moses in verse 6 says, "Do you intend to stay here while your brothers go across and do all the fighting?" Moses asked the men of Gad and Reuben, "Why do you want to discourage the rest of the people of Israel from going across the land to the Lord has given them?" If you've been coming to this church long enough, you've heard the language, "I believe everyone who follows Jesus is a leader. I believe everyone who follows Jesus is a leader." And you may balk at that and you go, "Well, I don't have a certain title." Can I tell you, leadership is not a title, it's a way of life. Leadership is not a title, it's a way of life. And if you follow Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit, you are going to have influence. And Moses gets so mad in this moment because he understands they may not have, quote, a title of leadership, but their actions are going to have influence on the rest of the tribes of Israel. And if the rest of the tribes of Israel start seeing, well, everyone else isn't going to go where God has called us to, maybe we can all start to settle for less. Maybe we can all start not going where God has called us to. And this can permeate the whole entire camp of this mentality. Well, why don't we just settle for less than what God has called us to? It's why it's usually not one leader. You want to find a healthy church, it's not going to be just the pastor. It's not going to be the leaders. A healthy church is going to be a group of people who say, we don't want to settle for less spiritually. It's a group of us who start to say that just because there's a negative thing that can spread through the camp because of influence, the inverse is also true, though. The inverse is true. You get enough a group of people who say, I'm not going to settle for less spiritually. I'm going to surround myself with people who want to passionately follow Jesus. I'm going to surround myself with people who are not going to go, this is good enough spiritually. I'm going to keep believing God always has more spiritually. We're supposed to learn to be content in the physical. Paul talks about that. We're not supposed to get content spiritually, though. We're supposed to say, God, I always want you doing more in my life. I always want you changing my heart. I always want you working in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, refining me. One of the things that can trip us up in, and not us, other people, right, is in Christianity, we don't want people who are messy in church. This is plaguing churches in America. I don't want messy people at church. I want people who will come talk like me. I want people who will come act like me. There's only one small problem with that. That's not the people Jesus surrounded himself with. Jesus surrounded himself with, come follow me, which means some messy people are going to come follow me, but if they follow Jesus, he starts to work in their hearts, starts to change things in their life, starts to break things off the enemies put there, starts to set them free over time. We would use that in the church language. It's called sanctification. Amen. And so church should be a place where, hey, it may be messy, but if you'll come follow Jesus, he will change your life the longer you walk with him. Can people who are 60, 70, 80, can you say amen to encourage some people behind you? Amen, that Jesus will continually work on us, refining us. That's a good thing. That's the positive momentum. If you won't settle for less spiritually, the Lord will continue to work in and through your life. That's a good thing. It's why there's positive or negative consequences to our leadership. If we are going to follow Jesus passionately and without compromise, it actually creates space around us for other people to do the same. And it's why Moses goes after these two tribes and says, don't you dare settle for less, because it can permeate to the rest of the people. Who you surround yourself with matters so much. Who you surround yourself with matters so much. And leadership, it's not a title, it's a way of life. You are called to follow the Lord, and it's going to impact the people around you. Numbers chapter 32, verse 20. They've gone back and forth and back and forth at this point. Then finally, Moses said, if you will keep your word and arm yourselves for the Lord's battles, underline or highlight that, for the Lord's battles, and if your troops cross the Jordan and they keep fighting, underline or highlight that, if they keep fighting until the Lord has driven out his enemies, then you may return when the Lord has conquered the land, and you'll have fulfilled your duty to the Lord and the rest of the people of Israel, and the land on the east side of the Jordan will be your property from the Lord. There's so much here. We could have done the whole sermon on this, but one of the things I want you to note is, as if you do know the Bible, and it's okay if you don't, I'm not here to judge you. How much do these tribes get talked about moving forward? If you know the Bible, as we move forward in the Bible, these are not two major players anymore moving forward, because they settled for less. And it didn't just affect them, it affected the generations that came after them. Your choices don't just affect you, it will affect the people around you. And what they're going to pass on to the generations to come is a DNA of settling for less. And so what ends up happening is, I think they're tempted just like any of us can be tempted, right? Sometimes we read the Bible, we don't put ourselves in their shoes, we don't think they're very much like us, but they are. They've had to fight some battles. They've been in the wilderness for decades now. They've been through a lot. And can we just be honest? When you follow the Lord long enough, is it easy to get weary or tired at some point? Not us, other people, right? You start fighting enough spiritual battles, you start going where God has called you too long, and if you start having to go through difficulty and feel like you go through your own wildernesses at point, it's easy to start to be tempted with, I'm getting weary, I'm getting tired. Maybe apathy starts to set in, feeling like you just don't care as much as you used to. Those things can start to creep in, and when they do, the enemy always shows up with a nice offer of, how about you just settle here? How about you just settle here? How about you just stop going where God's called you to go? How about you just stop fulfilling what the Bible's called you to be? How about you just settle for less? And it's a tempting offer if you've grown weary and tired from the battles of things in life. But can I tell you, breakthrough doesn't happen without battles. Breakthrough doesn't happen without battles. I've never met anyone who's ever come to church and they just go, I'd really like to not see a breakthrough in my life. I'm really hoping I just show up to church today and sin just continues to grip my life. That would be delightful. I've never met anybody like that before. I've met people who come and they say, hey, I'm wrestling, I'm struggling, but I want God to have a breakthrough in my life. I want to see something new in my life. Battles happen before the breakthrough. If they're going to get to the promised land, they're going to have to go through land after land and battle after battle to get where God has called them to. When they left Egypt, the promised land already existed. The promise of the promised land already existed when they left Egypt, but it didn't change the fact that they were going to have to go through battles to step into everything God had for them. Don't mistake having to go through battles as something has gone wrong spiritually. Let me put it to you this way. Battles come before blessings. Battles come before blessings. Like we talk about, people want breakthroughs. I meet everybody at church. Hey, everybody wants a blessing. Amen? Amen. We all want a blessing. Everyone comes to church. I want a blessing, but people don't want the battles that come before the blessings. Right? I meet lots of people who want blessings. I'm like, I don't know the way you're living your life is going to get any, but you can say that. Oh, man, that must have hit it. That hit a nerve. People are like, don't you come at me like that, Pastor. Don't you come at me like that. I'm getting weary and tired. I'll settle for less at another church. Amen. God's moving over there. We pray for him too. We want the blessings, but we don't want the battles that come with them. What are you expecting to receive if this is the story of God's children working toward receiving the promises of God, but he had them go through battles to get there? Why are you expecting your journey to be any different? Why are you expecting to not have to go through battles spiritually? Why are you expecting to not have to go through some things that are going to reveal to you the character of God, which is faithful? And sometimes for you to see the power of God, you're going to have to go through some battles. And God has designed it that way for you to learn his character. But the battles can make us weary. They can make us tired. They can be tempting to settle for less. And maybe you're here today and you know you're tempted. You know God's already speaking to you right now that this offer's been made to you. This offer's been made to you to settle for less spiritually than what God has called you to as a father or husband. You know this offer's been made to you to settle for less as a mother or a wife or a grandparent or a friend in the school system or a church member. You know this offer has been made to you to settle for less spiritually. And it's tempting because you're weary and you're tired, and maybe the word we use now is you're burned out. The battles have taken their toll on you, and the temptation is to settle for less. I'll say it this way. Every scar is a wound that didn't stop you. Every scar is a wound that didn't stop you. Right? I can tell you one of the most beautiful things, one of the most inspiring things to me, if I'm honest with you, is when I look at somebody who is 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years old, and what is so evident in their life is joy, kindness, peace, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. When I look at somebody that has all this life experience and has acquired some scars over life, but all they're doing is exuding this work that God has done in their life, I think it's one of the most inspiring things. Because when you meet somebody at that age, they've had plenty of life opportunities to settle for less. Once you reach that age of 60, 70, 80, 90, you have been tempted with this offer for sure to settle for less spiritually, and you didn't accept it because the fruit of the Spirit in your life is so palatable. Like, have you ever met somebody who's in their 70s or in their 80s, and you can just taste the presence of God in their life? That wasn't cheap. That was acquired through wounds that were healed by the Lord that turned into scars, and they've not settled for less. It's one of the most respectable things. I pray that if the Lord doesn't return and I get to that age, that that's what people can experience in my life. Because it means you've had all these opportunities to settle for less and you said no. And it's why the inverse, it's hard to watch people that age who can't finish well. Because I know it's not been easy. When you reach that age, you've had to have gone through so many battles, so many difficult things, and it's hard to watch someone get to that age and they're struggling to finish well. And it's something you just go, I pray for them. Because when you reach that age, if you follow the Lord, you've been seeking the Lord, it's like, I want to see people finish well. I want to see people finish that race with perseverance. You're not going to follow the Lord and not end up with scars. I know I say it all the time, but there's one thing you need to remember. Following Jesus isn't easy. It's worth it. Following Jesus is not easy. It's worth it. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have battles before breakthrough. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have battles before blessings. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to end up with scars because that wound didn't stop you. Are you tempted to settle for less right now? Some of these verses I'm about to read, I know people have heard these verses before. It's Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, it comes out predominantly a lot around students when you're graduating high school, right? Or you're graduating college. You get like 73 Hallmark cards with the same verse in it. Jeremiah 29:11. We start sticking it on coffee mugs. We start sticking it on a pillow. We start sticking it on a bumper sticker. Jeremiah 29:11. You're like, I haven't heard this verse. This is an exciting verse. You're going to like this verse. A lot of people like this verse. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they're plans for good and not for disaster." Say amen. We like that. It was to give you a future and a hope. God wasn't done. Amen to that. Remember, we're at church. We want the blessing. Amen. So God says, I've got plans for you that are good. They're not for disaster. It's the plan to give you a future and a hope. We like all that verses. One small caveat, if you want to take notes or write this down, the context of this verse is this is a long time after the promised land that we've just been reading about. The context of this verse is the Israelites have already lost the promised land. The context of this verse is Jeremiah, the prophet of God, is speaking to exiled people. Put it in the context of Jeremiah is speaking to people that have lost their homeland, they've been overrun by the enemy, and they've lost their identity of their territory that God has given them. And God's speaking to exiled people saying, I have good plans for you. In this moment, he's speaking to people who have potentially lost families and fortunes and all these things. They don't have vast numbers of livestock anymore. And God's saying to those people, I've got plans for you that are not for disasters. I've got plans for you for a future and a hope. Does that context start to change the verses? Look what it says in verse 12. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me, underline or highlight this, wholeheartedly. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. God sends a prophet to speak to people who they've lost their homeland because of sin in their life. He's speaking to people who lost the homeland because they rebelled against God. He's speaking to people who lost everything because they did exactly what God told them not to do. And he still speaks to his people and he says, I've got a plan for you. And it's a good plan and it's not for disaster. I've got a plan to end your captivity. I've got a plan to end you settling for less. I think God loves us enough to not let us settle for less. I think God loves us enough to speak into our hearts and our minds when we try to say this is good enough spiritually, and he says, absolutely not. I've got a better plan for you. I'm not going to let you settle for less. But we're tempted to as human beings because of the battles we face. Did the verses I made you underline or highlight that are, I didn't make you, I asked you. Moses tells the tribes, you still have to cross the Jordan River and go fight for land you're not going to inherit. There's still battles to come. God has plans for you, but it is not going to exclude you from future battles as well. It's not going to exclude you from having to go through some hard or difficult things in the future to experience everything that God has for you. God, in these verses, reveals his character that God, even when his children rebel and sin, he's a redeeming God. I'm glad we got two people who like that news. I'll say amen to my own sermon. Amen. I'm glad I serve a God who's redeeming and rescuing people when they don't deserve it. That's good news. It's good news that God says, I don't want you to settle for less because I know the plans I have for you. And settling for less is going to cause you to miss out on great things. And I love you enough to say, don't do that. Right? Any parents or grandparents, do you love your kids enough to try to tell them sometimes, don't do that? My daughter right now, she loves to climb on things. And in her world, there's no risk inherent to climbing on things. But as a parent, I know, don't do that. That's not good for you. And it even feels like, she feels like I'm robbing her of things. And as I learned a parent, some of you are going to laugh because you told me this would happen. You start to see the character of God. Who sometimes we get so set on doing something and God loves us enough to say no, even though it's exactly what we want and ask for. Because we don't understand all the risk or things that could happen with it. And God says, I've got a good plan for you and I've got a redeeming plan for you and I've got better things for you in the future, but you can't settle for less. And it comes when, did you underline or highlight that word? Wholeheartedly. Many times we want the plans of God given to us. Say, God, come and speak to me. Give me your plans. But the Bible says he'll give his plans when you seek him wholeheartedly. Following God's not cheap. The plans of God are not cheap. Settling for less is cheap. You want the plans of God to start to reveal, be revealed in your life, it's going to require wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. It's going to be saying, God, I want to passionately follow your ways day after day after day, and he'll reveal part of his plan over and over and over again. He'll give you what you need, not always what you want. And so God is moving in this moment saying, I'm going to bring clarity. I'm going to bring redemption. I'm going to work in your life, but it comes when you wholeheartedly seek. You cannot wholeheartedly seek the Lord while simultaneously settling for less. You cannot wholeheartedly seek the Lord while simultaneously settling for less. Why do you think the enemy wants to tempt you so much? Why do you think the enemy wants to tempt you to settle for less? Could it be that he also knows the plans that God has for you are going to be good? They're going to be redemptive? They're going to be restoring? And he says, I don't want people to experience that. Why don't you settle for less? We close out. I want to just share a story. And some of you guys don't know me. You're like, I don't even remember your name from the beginning of the sermon, quite frankly. But some of you guys have been here for a long time. In high school, I rebelled against the Lord. Spent years of high school rebelling against the Lord. But there was this tension that existed in my life as I knew God was calling me. I knew God was working my life. I didn't know exactly what it looks like. Sometimes when God's calling you, you don't know what it looks like. You just know he's working, right? And that's okay. Keep wholeheartedly seeking the Lord, and God will reveal the calling to you as you seek him. I didn't know what God was doing in my life, but I knew he was trying to do something, and I kept fighting against it. And in high school, I got addicted to pornography. And after years of that, I went off to college and gave my life, rededicated my life to the Lord and said, God, I don't want to, I want to seek you wholeheartedly. And God set me free from that addiction. But if you've ever struggled with an addiction before, it sometimes wants to show back up in your life. And maybe you don't wrestle with what I wrestled with. Maybe it was alcohol or drugs or greed or, I mean, all kinds of stuff we can wrestle with as humans. Have you discovered we can find a way to sin? Yeah, okay, so before we get all judgmental against me. Yeah. There's reasons we don't keep stones at this church. We don't got time to throw them at each other. And so God set me free, but there'd be these rare occasions where I'd be stressed, I'd be struggling, I'd be finding, and it would crop back up in my life. I wasn't addicted anymore, but there's these times where I just wanted to go numb for a minute. And I turned back to it, and then eventually I met Kaylin, and we started dating, and we got engaged. And after we got engaged, she asked me this question one day. She said, do you ever still look at pornography? And I said, no. And the Lord said, that's a lie. And I said, Lord, I can't be honest with her. I can't tell her that. God, like, if I open up about that in my life, she'll leave me. Small problem context of this is I'm a youth pastor at the time. And so as God's trying to take some things out of my heart, he's trying to set me free. He's trying to make sure I don't settle for less spiritually. The way he's breaking it off is going to be costly. He says, you go tell her you lied. Be honest. And I said, the cost of that's too high. The cost of not settling for less is too high. Because if I tell her, she'll leave me, and if she leaves me, the church will ask why my fiance left me, and when they find out, they'll fire me. So God, like, if I don't settle for less, if I do what you're asking me to, it'll cost me everything. I can't do it. And the Lord said it's a yes or no question. You know what the enemy loves to tell us sometimes? Is look at what following Jesus will cost you. He loves to ask that question. The better question to ask is, look at what not following Jesus would cost me. Amen. That's the better question to ask. Look at what not following Jesus will cost you. And so I went back and I was honest with her. I said, you know what, I've lied. And there's still an occasion where I'll look at it. But God's working in my life to set me free. And now we're about to be married this summer for 10 years. Made our 10-year anniversary this summer. And some of you are like, I didn't even know what you were struggling with. I'm just surprised, knowing you just a little bit, that y'all got to 10 years anyway. I'm like, well, we serve a miracle-working God. Amen? Amen? And see, when God's still working in your heart to break some things off and to work some things and refine you and change you, there's going to be moments where it's going to be uncomfortable and you're tempted to settle for less. And you have to choose what you want in your spiritual DNA. Sometimes we want to punt everything on God. God, you do everything, but I'm not going to have to respond. God, I'll allow you to bring a breakthrough in my life as long as I don't have to go through a battle. God, I'll allow you to bring a blessing in my life as long as I don't have to go through a battle. God, I'll allow you to work in my life as long as I don't have to turn over any wounds to you for healing so they become scars. We want all of that, but we're tempted to settle for less. The way God wants to move nowadays is he doesn't move through people who have settled for less. Will you seek God wholeheartedly? Because yes, that will lead you into spiritual battles. Yes, that will lead you to give up some things. But God will help you get where he's called you to. The good news is, if you will be someone who refuses to settle for less, God will give you what you need to go where he's called you to go. Because ultimately, it's not about us. The good news of the gospel is it's not in our own strength. It's that God will work in us if we'll submit our life and say, God, I will not settle for less, and now I need your help to not do it. And so as we close out, I want to ask, have you been tempted to settle for less? Have you been tempted to settle for less somewhere, maybe in your marriage or in your friendships or in your work life or maybe financially of what God's called you to do? Have you settled for less than what God's called you to? And so here's what I want to do. I want to give you a moment as a church to encourage one another. Because sometimes at church, we'll come as long as it's comfortable enough that I can watch the worship team, I can listen to this sermon, but I don't have to engage. Well, God works when we participate with him. And church is best when we encourage one another. And so I'm going to ask if you know, the enemy is trying to get me to settle for less. He's tempting me to settle for less. And what I want to choose for my spiritual DNA is I am not someone who settles for less. I need God's help. I need him to work in my life. But I'm going to choose to not settle for less. I'm putting that in my spiritual DNA. If that's you, what I want to ask you to do is for you to stand up and you come forward and we're going to pray for you as a church. Because we're not going to leave people out to dry when they wrestle with that. And so if the worship team wants to come back up, I left y'all out to dry. Thank you, Caroline. Praise God. Otherwise, I'm about to have to lead through worship in this moment, and we're going to see some people stand up, but they're going to head the opposite way when I sing. And so if you know that God's calling you forward into some things, but you've been tempted to settle for less, come forward, and we're just going to have a moment of prayer for these people who are choosing boldly to say, I will not settle for less spiritually, and I'm going to put it in my spiritual DNA that I need God to work through me to get me where God's calling me to be. And so if you're in your seat right now, can you just reach out your hand toward them? Can we be a church that encourages one another and says, hey, I may have some scars. I've been there too. I know that temptation, and I'm going to pray for you because as a church, we should work together. Amen? So right now, in the name of Jesus, yeah, prayer team, if you want to come forward, pray over people. Prayer team, if you're here, elders, if we got any elders here, you want to come forward and pray for people. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, whether they're online or here in the building, we're praying for people who boldly come and say, God, I may be tempted, but I'm going to believe in your strength through me, God. I may be tempted to settle for less, but in the name of Jesus, the power of Holy Spirit, I will go through battles if that's what it takes. I will step into obedience if that's what you're calling me to. I will not settle for anything than what you have called me to, God. And so by the power of Holy Spirit, I pray that even things begin to break off right now. That break off in the name of Jesus things in our mind. These agreements we may have made that said, this is how it's always going to be. In the name of Jesus, we don't come into agreement with that. We say, God will always be working through me. I'll agree to that. I believe God will continually be changing me. I'll agree to that. That God's breakthrough by his own power and his own strength will work through me. In the name of Jesus, we pray specifically what God told them when they first started to head to the promised land. Be of good courage. Be of good courage in the name of Jesus for these men and these women, God, who say, the enemy may be making me an offer, but I refuse it. I will be of good courage even if it faces a battle. Be of good courage. Be of strength in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for boldness. Boldness in the name of Jesus. Say, I will not back down from what God has called me to. And I pray for supernatural strength, supernatural perseverance in the name of Jesus to not grow weary, to not grow tired. There is no other option for me and my household that we will follow the Lord. And so, God, we need your help. As humans, we are ones who will settle for less if your power is not working in us. So in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, seal our hearts and minds for the things of God, not the things of this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we trust. You're welcome to stay up here if you want. But right now, if you want to stand up, we're just going to close out with this song and worship the Lord. And maybe you haven't seen that come to pass yet, but you know I'm tempted and I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to worship the Lord. We're going to give the Lord this time to work in our hearts and minds.